Now, you all presented some data at the last ASCO meeting in 2007 on the 4599 study looking at older patients, and that just got published in the JCO. Can you talk about that analysis?
Yeah, that analysis actually was done looking at the elderly, and the elderly was defined as patients greater than the age of 70. And in those patients who were treated with bevacizumab in that age population actually had increased toxicities and did not have an improvement in survival when receiving the three-drug regimen compared to chemotherapy by itself. And the thought is they did not have the improvement in survival because of that increased toxicity, particularly increased hematologic toxicity and increased bleeding, including GI bleeding, and a trend towards increased treatment-related deaths. So I think while not all elderly patients are more prone to those side effects, I think it's truly patient selection. You know, if the patient is, you think, more prone to complications because of a drop in blood counts or has any hint that they might be prone to bleeding, then I would avoid using the three-drug regimen, not particularly by age, but certainly by comorbid disease as well as physical activity and then the potential for increased bleeding.
For practical purposes, if you see a patient in their 70s who otherwise meets the criteria for 4599, no comorbidities, et cetera, do you have any hesitation about using bevacizumab?
Absolutely not. I'd have more hesitation if they were in their 50s and had a history of active coronary artery disease or even potentially leg claudication. So I'd be more worried about that patient compared to the active 70-year-old with no other health problems.
When you sit down with a patient who's going to begin, let's say, carbo, paclitaxel, and bevacizumab, what are some of the things that you go through with a patient, and what are some of the numbers that you give to the sort of typical patient in terms of risks?
So I pretty much quote the trial verbatim, but focus mainly on the risks of bleeding, which can run anywhere between 1 to 4%, even if we're trying to decrease their risk. And I also talk with a patient to tell me right away if they do develop hemoptysis or problems with bleeding. You'd be surprised how patients don't really tell you much, particularly about bloody noses or epistaxis or hemorrhoidal bleeding. Those things can be just as important as hemoptysis. So definitely talking with the patient about what potential things can happen and then that these are the basic risks. I also concentrate on hypertension, particularly if a patient has hypertension already. We will monitor the patient's hypertension when they come in. And a lot of times even I'll have patients check their blood pressure at home, particularly over the couple weeks after receiving bevacizumab, and to have them let me know that if they are having problems controlling their blood pressure. Proteinuria, I don't go through in detail. However, I do tell patients that we do watch for proteinuria by checking their urine every time they come in. So to kind of prepare them that that's another sample that they have to give us, but that it really doesn't have much in the way of side effects that a patient can actually feel.
What is your goal in terms of their blood pressure? What do you want to see it at?
Well, I prefer to see it less than 140 over 90. Being an oncologist and not a cardiologist, sometimes my patients will run in the 150s over 90s. But certainly I prefer it to be normal. If they've come in with normal blood pressures, I like to keep it where it is. If patients come with mildly elevated blood pressures, again, I like to keep it where it is. If people do develop blood pressures higher than that, then we usually will start them on various different medications to control their blood pressure.